following is the KROQ interview broadcast in 1980 on K-Rock, featuring Dan Dualphase, Brian W. Feedback, Stephen Z. Blueline, and myself, Paul Mack. Of the four guests on the show, only two of us are still alive, Stephen Z. and myself. And that's sad but true. As you know, Dan Ross died in 1983 from heart-related illness, and Brian W. Feedback, Brian Sterry, recently died from AIDS. Anyhow, here is the interview, as much as I can squeeze into my IAS box. I hope you enjoy it. It hasn't been heard since it first aired on the radio over 15 years ago. Here it is, and thanks again for calling. Paul Mack presents IAS Box number 63.
Good morning and welcome to another transcribed edition of KROQ Interview. Scott Mason here with you, and along with me is our technical director, engineer, what would you like to call it?
I broke it.
Yes, another K-Rock crazy, Paul Sackerson.
Too early.
It
I'm
is.
Going back to sleep.
No, come on, you gotta wake up, Paul. Serious business, where's my little watch? I have to start the time.
Right here.
Okay.
Now we're together.
Now we're together. Yes. Another morning here at KROQ FM Pasadena. With me this morning, well, I've got about four people who do something very strange. Actually, the show this morning is about, what would you call your profession or your hobby? What is it, guys?
Telephone entertainment?
You might call it that. I mean,
telephone.
Along those lines, if you know what I mean.
Telephone entertainment sums it up good. Let's go around the room here and everyone introduce yourself.
Okay, so let me briefly, the names you're about to hear.
Are fictitious,
and they're also known as. I'm Dan Faze.
This is Steve.
This is
just Steve, okay?
This is
Brian W.
Oh, hi, W. This is the movie maker, Barney Bott.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, I go by that.
Really?
The movie maker, you can call me.
We have Dan and Steve.
Yeah.
Call me Paul for short.
Okay. And Brian?
Yeah. W.
Can't forget the W.
The movie maker.
Movie maker. Okay.
Paul for short.
Yeah. Paul for short.
Short for Paul.
All right, these guys, well, they do strange things with the telephone, I guess. Isn't it?
Sometimes they incorporate animals, too.
Yeah. Well, we
sometimes
try
that.
Sometimes if you're sitting up late. As a matter of fact, what prompted me to do this interview was an article in the L.A. Weekly not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
About,
Who was that cover, I wonder?
Telephone. I don't know. This is not television, kiddo.
Are we getting glared?
No. Actually, these guys are putting together comedy type of situation. Something like, I remember the old dial-a-joke.
Oh, yeah.
And this is...
Which translation of it? It's been about 1800.
It was an 881 telephone.
Ah,
yeah.
Now, the thing that these guys do isn't exactly just call up and hear a joke. It's more of a... Well, I don't think I should name another radio station, but radio station where you call up and you talk. And
it's talk radio over the
listener part of the tape thing.
Only it's on tape, and it's more... More creative as put things between people's comments.
Well, it's real hard to sit here and discuss exactly what you're talking about, so let's hear a little bit of it.
Interlock. Begin. Activate imagination sequence. Initiate transpositioning mode. Lock. This week, Paul Mack, the movie maker,
and Dan Dualphase on the board, trying to get a look.
Starting this week, the Dualphase conference on 213 area code, that's 761-3825. That's 761-DQAL.
And that's no tell. Anyway, people, wait a minute. Barney Bott's here, too.
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to get on with it. It's just some great-looking comments. So all I can say is, how do you speak comments? So do it in color.
Thank you. go see, what was that thing called? Omnivision. Yeah, that's it, Omnivision. It's a real good movie. Cost $2 to get in. It's at Caesar's Palace.
A highly unusual medical case in which a small seed began to grow in the eye of an 8-year-old is reported in a recent issue of Archives of Ophthalmology by Dr. Solomon Abel of Cape Town, South Africa. The boy was brought to Dr. Abel after having 10 weeks of discomfort in the left eye. The physician found a spiraling shoot about 1/12 of an inch long growing just under the surface of the eyeball. The seed and its sprout were removed under microscopic surgery, and the eye healed with vision unimpaired. How did the seed grow? Conditions essential for germination of seeds include moisture, warmth, fresh air, and protection from strong light. Apparently, the eyeball provides these conditions.
Because it seems that the Freaky Funk Studios, to use a rather grand term for little apartments, have been burglarized. All of our equipment, our tapes, and our coupler.
My name's Alec. First, why am I running the line the way I am?
By the way, I don't like I Love Lucy either.
But in the meantime, in between time, we still have fun. Little stone, that sure cares.
This has got to be the funkiest thing I've ever heard, man. Keep it up.
What prompted you? Dan, since you're on that side of the microphone. What started you in this, and when did you start?
What started me was a friend that was in school, and he forced me to buy a phone from him one day, took my keys to help, and finally I said yes, and I get home and get my bug out and stuff. Then one day I told his lineup his personal number, and he was forwarding to a line called Feedback, and that's the first time I heard what an entertainment line was, and the person that runs Feedback is sitting next to me, Brian.
Oh, you run that line? Feedback is another type of entertainment line. That's the name of your line.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that legal?
Oh, absolutely legal. There's nothing wrong with it at all. The phone company, depending on who's in the phone company, may kind of frown at its operation, but there's nothing that says it can't be done.
Yeah, they don't like it, but there's really nothing they can do about it.
Do you guys ever tend to tie up the trunk?
Yeah.
The circuit?
Well,
okay, first of all, it's not something that is like a radio station which generates such mass calling at one particular time, which tends to sometimes screw up the telephone network. Because it's more on a local level, there's not that many callers. Sure, there are. They do kind of stretch into the hundreds, but nothing whereas a large amount of people are going to be calling one of the numbers at one particular time. So it's really just getting the network normal use.
And the thing about it, as opposed to something like radio, is it's really cheap to run, and it's really very free of restrictions.
That's the one thing that appeals to most
people. There's no censorship, because the phone company, they can try to get on your back, but they can't censor.
Isn't there something about profanity on telephone?
No.
On a common carrier.
They're dialing into our numbers, and they are, by their own choice, calling.
Yeah,
online.
Now if we were to call them and say, hey, listen to this, then they could get on our case, but they're calling us, so really they can just hang up if they don't like what they hear.
What we're saying is we're not saying that anytime someone calls one of these numbers that you're going to hear something that you normally wouldn't hear over the normal media. The fact is that it can be there, and it sometimes is there.
It's interesting over the phones. You know, people like to participate. I started out leaving comments on the lines quite about 2 years ago. And then Dan, I was speaking to him on the phone, and now I'm a regular. Oh, well, that's life, I guess.
It's fun. So are you guys just into the entertainment aspect of this, or are you into the technical aspect? Because I know about there's phone freaks everywhere.
Yeah,
I read the article.
First of all,
phone freak over the years has become a rather a nasty name to people in the phone company and to the general public, because phone freaks generally have a bad name. Thing is, you never hear about the good phone freaks, the ones that...
Like us.
Telephone enthusiasts just trying to rip off Mob there.
Yeah,
right?
You probably read in the Weekly about the deserters and stuff like that.
Yeah, in the LA Weekly article, that was really split into two sections
publicity is really easy because phone people who call, it's a very close set. Occasionally someone will go to high school and write the number on the wall and a few people will call. But generally you don't need a lot of publicity. There are a lot of people who call on a regular basis. And when they hear there's a new line, they just go over to that line.
It's kind of the thing you find on a bathroom wall. But really, it's said through history that the best form of publicity is word of mouth, and that it is. Now, there are your hardcore callers who have been calling the lines ever since they began, but then you get the people who call it just to see what's about, and they stick around for a week, a month, 2 months, a year. Then they come, they'll go away, they'll come back.
Then there's the faithful callers like me, Brian, who leave loyal comments and are willing to participate.
Because there are a lot of in-jokes and things that after a while...
A person calling some of the tapes at first might not find some humor or something may not click.
Because
you have to be listening to it for a while to sometimes get the inside jokes and really the feel of what's going on.
It's like
coming into the middle of a movie.
Are we going to be able to give out some of these numbers here in a little bit?
Oh, sure.
Okay, so get your paper and pencils ready, and in a few minutes we'll give out some of these entertainment lines, phone numbers. So you guys are into being the actors and on it and getting into it, and also
doing it.
And also sort of being into the technical end of it.
Yeah, well, you have to get into the technical end as far as you can't just go out and buy a cheap answering machine and put it on the line because it will break down after a while.
You asked earlier what really makes how do you get one of these lines going? Well, first of all, what it takes is basically one phone line or more, depending on your how your line's going to be, what you're going to do with it. And like Steve said, you can go out and buy conventional answering equipment, but a lot of it is not tailored to mass calling, to constantly be going, constantly be working, because you got to remember, it has to be there 24 hours a day, and it has to be able to handle the amount of calls it's going to receive, and a lot of conventional answering equipment won't do that. It is available, but it gets into the bucks. So a lot of us have chosen either to go to the phone company route and rent their equipment, which, by the way, is no longer available, so the people who have it are clinging on to it and continuing to run their lines with it.
Like a Codafone.
Well, it's
industry type
kind of, but...
it works really well, not one of these, you know.
Back when the phone company was really sensitive about you hooking answering equipment to your telephone line, they came out with these devices called couplers, or protective connecting arrangements, as they like to call it.
They're a
mistake.
A lot of fun. What it does is it went between your answering machine and the phone line, and how they put it, protected their network from any damaging voltage or audio frequencies that could harm their employees in the central office. Well, the FCC later on had told them, hey, that you're full of, you know, and passed down a ruling that said you no longer can do this, that people can hook answering machines directly to the line. But these couplers were in reality answering machines in themselves. So when, if you knew how they worked, you could build your own answering equipment to work with the coupler. So really, we can tailor our answering machines to do what we want to do, something that you can't go out and buy from a company.
You mentioned bucks a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
I noticed that your machine costs bucks. It takes bucks to run. I noticed you have some people have three or four different numbers from three or four different areas.
Well, right.
I had a line that was supported by a federal grant. It was really easy to do it.
We wish.
Yeah.
No, but
it does cost money. And
where does it come from?
The money comes from
your own pocket.
Only a lot.
See, the thing is, a lot of people throughout the ages have tried to start lines and tried to get advertising on them. And
is that legal?
It's all of this is really in the gray side. You know, you don't know if it's legal or not. The whole phone thing is a strange question. But they've tried to, in advertising, they've tried to solicit donations, which has worked at times, but I don't think it's very ethical. But
so your next question is, if it costs so much money, then why do it?
It's
a hobby. And like most hobbies...
They're the bird watching.
Right.
That's right.
It's like most hobbies, it's going to cost you money, but you get some sort of satisfaction from doing it.
I was into stamp collecting. And then
I make movies, that's more or less...
Let's
get on the right track here.
Right track.
That's another phone line.
That's a phone line.
How many are there?
Well, in a minute when we,
first?
That's a hard question because it's really not defined, and the documentation is very scarce, but from the best of anyone else's recollection is that the first joke line, well, somewhat joke line, there was some guy or recording that they used to call Ben, and it used to be this guy singing Happy Days Are Here Again, and
they all,
some motel or something. It went for years and years and years.
But they all kind of popped up, I think, in the mid-late 60s, around the time of underground radio and things like that.
The first real joke line then was something called The Machine, which is still going today, and another one which is called Z, which is also still running today. Mm-hmm. Those really are the longest running joke lines.
Z, the last thing in the L.A. phone book.
Right, first listing and the last listing in the L.A. telephone directory.
Insane. Before we give out numbers, there's a notation, since they are regular telephone lines, they do supervise or they do charge.
Nothing
look at me. So if it's not local to you in your local calling area, which is getting smaller and smaller, you'll be paying money for it.
How's your thumb, you know?
Gotta watch the thumb.
Dan told me how he got started in doing it. How about you, Steve? Brian?
Okay. There was a line called Fun Phone, which Brian plays old tapes, and basically they ran skits, which were kind of like a cross between I Love Lucy and Dick Van Dyke. They had regular characters, and they were 12-minute skits, and I saw the number for it on a telephone pole, strangely enough, in Canoga Park. And I wrote it down. I said, wow, this is really neat. And two or three years later, I decided I'd run something myself. And it ran for about two and some odd years, and then I went down. It went down about January.
I went down. Define that.
In other words, I pulled the plug on it.
Why is that?
Well,
financial.
It was a lot of things, boredom, and I thought I'd taken comment lines everywhere they could go, and there was nothing else to do with them.
Brian, how about you?
Well, around the same thing as Steve. All my life as a kid, I was playing with the phone, the technical aspect of it. And then back in our early 70s, like 72, 73, someone gave me the number to one joke line called The Main Line, so I was calling that on a regular basis. And we have some tapes from that here. Maybe we can do an excerpt from later on.
Right,
but in any
good.
Event, that went down after a couple years or was disconnected, and I did not call any other lines, basically because I didn't know of any others, but I still continued my interest in the telephone. And then I got the number for Fun Phone in early 77 and was calling Fun Phone. And like Steve said, it was something you had to get into because the characters were defined. The tapes went from week to week sometimes. It was like a situation comedy over the telephone, anywhere from 6 to 12 minutes. So back in...
Yeah, Fun Phone was a really strange phenomenon. He changed his tape every day.
Every single day.
Which not everyone does. He had a thing called Mailbag, where people would write in letters, and he would read letters over the phone, and we haven't managed to have people send in letters to us, because phone freaks just don't write, and somehow he got like 8-9 letters a week.
He proved it could work.
Right. So in any event, back in school I was involved in audio production and theater arts and film production. Then when I graduated, I went to work full time, and I found that I was really doing nothing with my spare time. So, back when I was a kid, and it's always a kid when they call a joke line and says, oh, I want to do one of those. Well, now I was old enough to do it. So I got a phone line, got the equipment, and really started up what turned out to be now a comment line, and it's still running today.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's your involvement here?
Wait a minute. Bonnie? Well, actually, no. I'm just supervising the whole thing. No, actually, I started out as what you'd call a caller. Just I found out about the number in the newspaper. Not Brian's number. I found out about a 989-2000 or something that went down. It was called Surprise.
And
from that, I got a conference line, and from that, I heard about feedback. Started calling feedback.
Word of mouth, once again.
Word of mouth, right there. Yeah. Then I started calling Jan's line. And I leave semi-funny comments, I do voices and stuff, and I got to talking to Dan one day, somehow you found me, and, well, he said, hey, you want to do a tape? I said, sure, supposed to be a guest star on the tape, but ever since then I've become a regular, since just like Steve is a regular on Brian's.
Yeah, tape. Steve appears on my line or does tapes.
He needs to work,
You mentioned conference lines. Okay, what's the conference line?
Something you got a screen on.
Go ahead. A whole bunch of lines, and you've got about 5-6 lines on some conferences. Like, he runs a conference sometimes. Brian.
Anybody have 5 or 6 lines.
Okay.
You have 5 or 6 lines coming into your
phone. Phone numbers. Okay, Brian has a couple numbers for feedback, and then he has an input number where you can leave comments, and a few other numbers just kind of laying around gathering dust. And he hooks up a machine in which the person calling the input line, the person calling the output line, the person calling the miscellaneous line will all be clicked together. And they can all talk to
about things like that. Clock or something like that.
You'd have people yelling over the ringing on the time number.
What is that? I've heard that.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. I've heard that. You dial 853-1212 and you get the time. You hear little girls or something yelling phone numbers.
What we call in telephones as a phone company fluke. And really, it's things that people find now. Times when you can yell over busy signals and you can hear the other person, or when you misdial on your telephone and you get the recording that says, "I'm sorry, we're unable to complete your call." People yell over those. People have now found that you can yell over the ring generator for the time. And those are really the rotten conferences.
Yelling over
recordings, busy signals, whatever. Well, these conferences are actually run by people where you actually can hear who you're talking to, and they can go all through the night.
What's the purpose of this? Mutual gratification?
There
are a lot of two-line conferences.
Two-line conferences.
Which I like the best, because you can actually talk to someone on a one-to-one basis instead of yelling over four other people. A lot of people use it to pick up on other people, and sometimes it works, and a lot of people just use it to talk, and, just really talk about anything.
When I'm on a conference, you usually end up hanging up. I don't get to talk to too many people.
Well, one advantage to a conference is that you can meet people over the line at the same time. You don't have to give them your personal telephone number
I think that's a lot of people... A lot of people on phones who talk on conferences and things, because it's very sheltered. You can really be anyone. All you've got is your voice, and so you can really masquerade as anything you want to be.
You can even be Bonnie Five.
What kind of person calls a line? Have you met a lot of your quote unquote listeners? I know, being on the radio, I've met a lot of my listeners.
Well, first of all, what kind of listeners do you have?
Okay, we're all different.
Well, the average person calling a phone line, we can say that they're young, okay?
And lonely or what?
Well, no, I'd say that the majority of the ages begin at about 12 and can go all the way up to, we're talking about the majority of the callers now. The majority are from like 12 to 30. And then there are people who are older who are calling. And you have people from all walks of life. You have the weirdos, the normal people, the nuns, the...
25.
Right.
A lot of nuns.
There are people who insist that there are 5 conference line stereotypes, although I don't know if we should mention them.
You can read that in the LA Weekly.
Yeah, you can read that one in the LA Weekly.
Yeah, there are a lot of people you wouldn't want to meet on the street.
You've got to remember that people, when they're on the phone, that you can't see them, so they can... really be whoever they want
to be. Yeah, that's what I was saying. There are a lot of people that can just channel their life into it, even there are a few occasional callers.
They can put on a little mask and just...
I mean, you start calling every day, and you start getting withdrawal pains.
A lot of people are definitely hooked, like I said, who are the hardcore phone enthusiasts or phone freaks who have been calling for years. And then those that just stay in or call every once in a while. And because
some people can handle phones, and some people just let it get out of control.
Yeah, like some people will call and go, "Huh, what the hell is this?" And then they wait, and will never call again. But it's just really not for them. It's not for everyone.
That's right. Check with your doctor.
Not only as directed.
Paul's been sitting here with his stitches on his lips.
Well, I was a youngster back before I got into trouble with radio. Mm-hmm. Dropped the
by a tape recorder machine, and all of a sudden you've got, you know, literally about 100, 200 people calling you.
I'd say it's more than that currently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Really, it depends on where your line is located and how many people can call
you. You know, and all of a sudden you have these kids screaming on your line that they want to meet you and they think you're really great and you're really neat and all that.
Yeah. You've got your own little stage. It's your own little corner of the world that you can rule. And once again, you're not censored. I mean, the FCC doesn't come down and say, you can't play that. And also, if you are going to play anything risque, there's always the thing of a disclaimer when you ring into the tape saying, hey, if you don't like this type of material or that type of material, hang up now. We take no responsibility for your offense. Because they're actually people calling the phone line. It's not like turning on a TV and it just be there. You know what you're going to be getting into when you call the tape.
Well, okay. In case you're wondering, this is KROQ FM 106.7 you're listening to. This is our nightly, weekly, morningly, whatever, our interview show here transcribed. We're talking to some people here who do telephone entertainment and who wouldn't really call themselves phone freaks.
Not me.
They're positive phones. Some of them are positive phone freaks. They're telephone type people. They're into the phone. They give good phone and they love it, you know?
I'm just a phone. Great performance. I just, you know, I'm the phone out there. Hey. Telephone access.
Let's give out some phone numbers here.
We
don't know them off. You don't know off the top of your head.
I know his number.
Okay, we'll just forge ahead and give what we know now, and then we'll recap at the end.
Okay, we'll start out with the joke line. There's you guys got your pencils and paper? Quick, run and get it. All right.
Wait, let me get mine right here.
We'll start with the joke lines. And first of all, well, the machine. And they're in San Pedro at 833-3339. They're also in Mar Vista at 822-2329. They're in Culver City at 836-5556. And also somewhere in Orange County at area code 714-833-3339.
Play a little bit. A little bit more of some of your lines here.
Okay.
I'll do that right about now.
This is feedback.
You know, when I started this whole mess, Dave, I said it was really classless to speak over music that had singing, you see. Just instrumental only.
You know, I could go through this whole tape with absolutely nothing and people would think you're talking to yourself.
That's true. This tape is being issued on a Thursday night for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, sometime in February 1980. New tape on Monday. This 20 minutes or so, and here we go.
There's an R in February. You said February.
I said February.
I'll go with
hello there, Fuzz Block callers. This is Steve24 at about, I don't know, 1 or 1:30 in the morning going into Tuesday, January the 29th. And I just quickly wanted to say that in response to your question, do I like the idea of you playing some of the nostalgic feedback tapes? Can't talk again. Yeah, I like the idea because I didn't hear feedback a year or two ago, and I hear people talking about it all the time because it is one of the fairly legendary lines. And so hearing some of those older tapes gives me a little bit of an idea of what was going on back then, rather than just hearing about it from other people's mouths. I get to hear about it over the phone as if I were there. So it's kind of neat. So, yeah, keep on playing them. It's nice to hear that, and it gives you a little bit of a chance to actually sit down and make the tape without either letting the line ring out or having to make it in a hurry.
Well, feedback caller, this is Glenn of West LA, and I am calling, I believe it is Tuesday, 29th or 30th at 7 a.m. And I'd just like to make a short comment on, I believe I don't remember who it was on Monday's comment tape in rebuttal to the Zoom program. I would be willing to go along with your petition signing and opinionating, and I think you're right. And I think all the feedback callers and anybody that has anything to do with telephone.
mean they really have to be stopped.
This is, yes, FM 106.7.
We're back.
Yes, go ahead. You're listening to KROQ Pasadena with an FM in between those two. And you're listening to an interview show here, our interview show.
And I'm interviewing
I'm interviewing you. I'm Scott Mason.
You know, speaking of the phone company, you guys really should call about your listing in the white pages because it still says AM FM.
Well, how do we get a 520 number for our request line?
Pay lots of money. That's what you do. Get an 800 number.
A lot of people, you know, you guys are into putting carrier lines, and you're also into, you know, I guess you build your own equipment at all.
Yeah.
Devices. I mean, I think maybe 50-60% of everybody has got an extra extension telephone they don't pay for. And
well,
like that.
There was a time when the phone company was very, you know, would get really upset, and they did a random voltage test and testing of phone lines to see if you had on your line what you were on the records of having, and if they detected an unauthorized extension, they would call you and say, hey, take it off our phone line. But ever since the FCC came down with their certification of answering equipment and telephones, and really now there is a separate market that you can go out and buy phones, buy anything you want that's on a phone line, and it's perfectly legal. The phone company, the phone company has not as
now. Let me ask you, how do you go about? Okay, you moved from a long time ago. You've acquired some phones, specific telephone or whatever. You got your little module or anything. How do you go to the phone company and say, well, I want to use custom provided equipment? What's the cheapest way of getting your phone line?
Well, you know, currently, and some people are aware of, you rent your standard desk set from the phone company now at a charge of 60 cents, which they want up to $1, by the way. But if you have your own equipment, you go to the phone center store or you call the business office when you're getting your new service, and you say, yeah, I'm going to be providing my own instrument, my own equipment. Well, then they won't charge you the 60 cents, but they will ask you for an FCC registration number of the equipment that you're using. So either if it's legal and you actually have the FCC registration number, you can give it to them. Or a trick that's pulled off by some people is they go to their local Radio Shack catalog and they open it up to the phone section and they list FCC registration numbers. This is the one I'm using.
Now everybody knows.
That will work again.
Which is fine. Which is, hey, why not save some money from my bill? I heard from people at the phone company that within 5 years, all the phone companies got to do is provide a dial tone to your house. You know, you have to do the rest.
I think that's what they're heading for, really, is the elimination of all local calls that you pay for what you use. The monthly service may go down, but there will be no such thing as a local calling area anymore, and you will pay through the nose to call.
That's a monopoly.
What about general telephone?
Well, you know, they're trying.
They're trying.
They have their equipment is very outdated. We won't go into technical aspects of switching systems. There basically are three types, and they have what is the oldest type, but they are slowly replacing it with computer-operated switching or electronic switching systems, but not as fast as Pacific is cutting over their equipment. So, I mean, they're trying, but they're smaller, so they can't do it.
What about bizarre things with telephones? I dial 113 on my telephone, and I get a number telling me that my phone number is, you know.
Well, I don't know if we can go into that.
I'm 113.
There are different codes you can call that, you know, one will tell you your telephone number that you're calling from, one will ring your phone back when you hang up, stuff like that. But when you get into scanning for test numbers, you can also scan for ones that you probably didn't want to because some guy will answer in a central office and then hang on to your phone line for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that?
These are all test numbers that the phone company themselves use. So when you start using them and they find out,
they don't like that. Well, in fact, they are currently in and around the 213 area code, changing a lot in different cities the code numbers that they have been for years.
So like if we gave out a whole bunch, they'd probably be different tomorrow.
They'd probably be knocking on our doors tomorrow.
Yeah.
Why is that? I don't see how that's illegal.
Because the phone company will use that to test, and if, you know, a whole bunch of people are calling up so they can hear their phone number over and over.
They can't use it when they want themselves.
It's their loss.
Right.
Yeah. They own everything. Come on. Take a break. Moving over to the entertainment aspect of it. You're a regular, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm regular.
There's all these numbers. You guys must have given me 40 numbers I've written down here.
Oh,
you're regular. You spend your life talking. What's your phone bill look like?
It's kind of a little piece of paper. I'm
16 pages long.
I've been calling. I try to get new numbers. I'm a regular caller of feedback, believe it or not. I do call dual base to hear the tape. They are excellent, by the way. And I will say that I do many things. I call all the numbers. I'm just a regular phone freak.
I was impressed. I called. I called your number. I saw the article in LA Weekly, and I called. And it seemed like a lot of people on there wanted to be aspiring disc jockeys, which was like a real thrill for me to listen to. It was real, real fun. And I left a message on one of your.
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
Hi, this is
KROQ.
Call me. Yeah. Call me. Yeah, this is wonderful.
That's all they're there for, really. It's just fun. That's the bottom line.
It's new. A lot of people, when they find out about it, they think it's neat because, they say, hey, you can call up the telephone. You can call on the telephone.
Yeah, you're sitting at home 3 a.m. on a Monday morning, early Monday morning, and all that's on TV is Cal Worthington, God, and the radio's playing God.
Bless you.
The
thing is, it's not new. It's been around for ages.
I remember.
And lines have gone up and down. A line may come up for 3 months and then be disconnected.
Well, I remember in junior high school, there was a hot line called Dial a Joke. And this guy, dial a joke.
Oh, yeah.
And that was hot when I was.
Dial a joke.
That was hot when I was in junior high school. I always used to wonder, who is this? What is this? If I remember, they were produced real well.
Well, that the main line, which I guess we're going to play, is very professional.
We already played it.
Yeah, that was good.
The guy from Z, I think, knows the guy who did the old Dial of Joke, because at one time, Z was playing the old Dial of Joke recording.
And, some of those are pretty dirty, Back then, being a young junior high school type student, hey, this is our
great.
Yeah, this is great. I'm getting corrupted young, It was.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Bizarre. Let me ask you one more thing. I'm thinking of all these things that I used to remember back when I used to, make these things. I called Joe Kleins and
stuff like that.
Yeah, I thought about it. That's why one of these Kodafone dialers favorite electronic dialers. Great for winning radio station contests. There was some number if you dialed like 1119 and 1110, they'd go together or something like that.
Yeah.
That stuff like that varies from city to city or central office to central office. People in Burbank know the number that they can call to yell over and yell to people. And some cities will have a busy signal they can call or something like that. So like I said, it varies from where you are, which you can call and get that type of absurdity.
Is there any way if you guys like wanted to, you can disrupt the phone company internally?
Well, we won't go into that.
It can be done.
That's possible, but why do it?
You got
a screwdriver, you can do anything.
I remember one time I had my service temporarily disconnected by, accidentally. They said I didn't pay my bill, I dropped it in the box, wasted quarters on the Friday night. And I'm calling repair service.
That's their favorite trick, is to TD you, or temporarily disconnect you, Friday night. Because you can't get a hold of them Saturday or Sunday, and it's like hell getting through to them Monday morning because, 8,000 other people are trying to call them. That's why their phone was disconnected,
too. Well, fortunately, I have to live in an apartment with a fairly big terminal, and a number of wires running through the apartment. I just borrow my neighbor's telephone. It was ridiculous when I called repair service and they had no record and they couldn't find the problem, And it was like strange because I took the whole thing apart and knowing a bit about engineering, having a first class radio license like we do here at the station.
You finally got one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's nice.
Yeah, so I sat there and played with it. Like, I tried to double, it seemed almost like they put a 600 ohm terminating resistor across my phone line because all you get is a busy signal if you call me, someone taking the phone off it.
Right.
So I tried, doubling the resistance to half it actually in parallel.
Then
people that cut lines aren't always particularly talented at doing anything.
Right.
A friend of mine started at the phone company, and
guess when you want to talk, when you want to start talking about technical things, you can get into tons of stuff. Like, we know about digital G carrier.
Well, the phone company is such a big company. It's like, you know, one arm doesn't know what the other arm's doing.
Exactly. Try and get a broadcast line somewhere.
Oh, right. Well, I was trying to get, we were telling you about couplers, which are the answering machines they had, and I was trying to call up and order one. No one knew what a coupler was. You know, they carried it, and I'm talking to these service reps and saying, yeah, I'd like a coupler. What's that?
All we have is phone. We try and order certain lines, and they don't know, well, we want a tariff, that's that line covered by someone, interstate rather than interstate tariff. What are you talking about? They don't even know their own tariff rules.
Right. That's true. And, I mean, technically we can talk about, well, everyone's heard of illicit things like blue boxes, which back in the 60s were popular for people to make, well, 60s and 70s, to make free phone calls.
Mm.
But really, nowadays, it's stupid for anyone to use a blue box because they can detect them, you know, really easily. The more sophisticated phone freak knows of other ways to go around Ma Bell and
Bank of America's watch line or something like that.
Stuff like that. I don't do it. There's a myriad of ways to, you know, avoid charges here and there, but really, I don't think they'll ever. They are trying to close it up, but I don't think they'll get ahead of the phone freaks.
I heard about someone who was a big phone freak and got caught, and phone company said, we're going to put you in jail or come to work for us.
Yeah. That's what they used to do. They used to give, when they busted phone freaks, they gave them a choice. Either go to jail or come to work for us. Because when they were saying, come work for us, they realized that, hey, this person knows something about the network, and they would be more valuable to us than out there ripping us off. And anyone that goes to work for the phone company soon, you know, through some power of Ma Bell, then becomes attached to them and sees it their way. It's like a brainwashing of...
You have my bell power.
Right.
Isn't it easier to rip them off once you work for them? Though?
I just say, just crack all my... Gee, if anything happened, Mr. Supervisor,
that'd be
a
bad thing. I don't want to work. I don't think they do that anymore, though. I'm really not sure because...
I'd like one of those trucks.
They don't bust people as much as they used to.
Phone fraud, is that?
Telephone fraud, yeah.
Well,
toll front.
Format, getting back to format stuff, people must be wondering what one of these tapes change and how they change and stuff.
Oh, gee, Dan, really, I wasn't wondering that at all.